Britta Phillips here, and you are listening to Showtime Synergy with Mike, Amy, and Nicole.
I, Jerrica Benton, am living the most unexceptional life.
Get one of those grocery bags.
My sister Kimber and I live with our Aunt Bailey and her two foster kids.
Here she is.
Sing one of your songs.
I don't like being on camera. At some point, we all wish that we could just become someone else.
I'm gonna play you a song I wrote.
Who's got the heart of a hunter? Pounding like thunder.
She'll thank me later.
Something's happening that you really need to see.
What?
Oh my God.
Is that me?
Did you do this, Kimber?
This is about you not going your whole life wondering what would have happened if you didn't take that chance.
The biggest record company in the world wants to sign us.
You're gonna be famous!
Who wants to walk on
water? Welcome to Starlight Enterprises.
This is Rio.
Hi, girls.
You are no longer Jerrica.
Jem, that's what we call you now.
That means changing the way you act, sound, and look.
This is us?
No, it's Photoshop. If you
all the web's been talking about is Jem.
Jem and her band of sisters revealing a whole new look.
You're on the radio!
No.
Oh my God, we're on the radio!
I would have never guessed that coming here would mean a whole new Jerrica.
You mean Jem.
The whole world wants to know who you are right now. An icon is not one of four, it's one of a kind.
You don't want us around anymore? That's not how a family's supposed to act.
This is just the beginning.
The version of me that they want doesn't exist.
Even when the odds seem impossible, you need to trust the people you're closest to.
I need to fix this.
Let's go, Jem. Showtime Synergy. Everyone has a secret identity. Which one's the real you?
My daughter would kill me if I didn't get an autograph.
Of course.
She's gonna freak.
On your arm?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Steven.
Hello and welcome to episode 24 of Showtime Synergy. It is time, folks, because today we've got one more episode after this, but today we're gonna go to
a dark place.
No, that's when we get to the Dark Jim comic arc. But anyway,
okay, there you go. Have it. Yeah, there's the
almost. It would have almost been better if Dark Jim was the storyline in the movie, but that's sadly not the case. We are here to talk about the Jem and the Holograms film. Yay! Oh boy.
Is that enthusiastic or very sarcastic?
It's both at this point. When did you first have an experience with this, Amy?
Experience as in, like, that I actually watched it? Uh-oh.
Did he die?
No, I didn't die. Yes.
Okay, both of those, right? Okay, so yes. I first watched it. I sadly did not get to see it in the theaters because they pulled it too quickly.
Exactly.
I was a little sad that they did that. I was
me and Amy were planning on like getting together somehow.
Yeah, well, it was hard because I think I can't remember what it was. Something happened. It was going on in your life at the time, and it was like
over Christmas. Oh yeah, it was family stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Right. Okay. Your mom was sick or something, and I wanted to come down.
My sister was.
Okay,
was
that's what
hospital.
It was. Okay, so. Somebody was. I'm sorry, I'm getting it all wrong. Okay, so I was gonna come down, and we were gonna go see it together, and then we were hearing all of the news about it, and we're going okay, and then it got pulled, and it was like, oh crap!
I know. It's like wait, what?
And we were kind of hesitating too because the response to it was not so happy and really kind of, you know, not good. And I thought, I was kind of hesitant too because I didn't want to go see it and feel like, oh, do I have to be upset at and hate at it? And anyhow, long story short, we ended up, I ended up not seeing it until a couple weeks ago. And I had to find it online in a nefarious way to watch it.
Did you go to the Bay? Did you go to the Bay of Pirates?
I might have.
Wait, I sent you something, I think. Anyway.
I didn't know if that was going to be our official take on that or not.
Well, I sent you something because somebody sent me something.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So it wasn't that I put money behind it, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because, to be honest, I've watched it now twice, and it's not that bad. Is it a gem movie? Debatable, but it's not that bad.
It has, because I can already tell by the other laughter here that she's going to take the complete opposite opinion. It has elements of Gem sprinkled throughout it, but it doesn't have the spirit of Gem, I think.
I think it did up to a point, and then it failed.
Well, yeah.
Well, see, okay, well, I'm just kind of on the same boat with you guys. The start of it had that same kind of vibe. And it's just like, okay, they already switched up one major thing. Miss Bailey is related to them. What the hell? That's okay.
It's more like they never really established that. Miss Bailey knew her father.
They called her Aunt Bailey.
No, they called her aunt. It was her aunt.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
In the movie, Mrs. Bailey is the aunt. They do call her that.
So, okay. That's just like, okay.
I'm not... That doesn't bother me, to be honest, because it's, you know, it's not their generation. It's the generation behind them. You know, it's
yeah.
father's sister or whatever. I'm all right.
And I mean, honestly, all they did with it was, because in the series, and again, we get it, people, the Gem movie isn't going to be the same thing as what the series was and all that. We understand that. But the way it was in the series, the mother, Jackie Benton, was the one to take in the foster girls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All they did was take Mrs. Bailey, make her into Aunt Bailey, and then give her the foster daughters.
See, yeah. Like I said, I'm fine with that. It still had that same kind of Gem feel to it. But there is one point in the movie that everything just turns on its head, and I'm like, nope, I'm out of believing right now.
Yeah.
Would that be your favorite boyfriend being able to sing in the
car? Oh, I will
guitar?
Have a whole rant about that. Okay. That is the towel scene, which I enjoyed.
I know exactly where it went wrong for me.
Yeah. Okay, so the movie was directed by John M. Chu. Now, everyone needs to realize and remember, I remember after watching Star Trek, the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek, everybody was like, ooh, John M. Chu, is that guy that played, what's his name from, no, that's John Cho. They're two different people.
Yeah.
John Chu is not John Cho. John Cho was Sulu. This is not Sulu. Because I remember as soon as everyone heard about this guy going to be directing the Gem, they're like, why is Sulu directing a Gem? No, it's not the same guy. So my first problem with this is the fact that you have a male director and a male writer. Okay. That's the first problem. Am I saying that Christy Mark should have had more of a influence on this? It's Hollywood. That's probably never going to happen, but they should have had, it's an all female property. They should have had females behind this.
And they changed some of the female, some of the members of the original cast into females, which would have made perfect sense. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The main cast is Aubrey Peoples, Stephanie Scott, Haley Kiyoko, Aurora, I can't even pronounce her last name, Juliet Lewis, Ryan Guzman, and Molly Ringwald.
Miss Bailey.
First of all, you got two Disney Channel former stars. You got Stephanie Scott, who was on Ant Farm for God knows how long. Haley Kiyoko was on the Disney Channel original movie Lemonade Mouth.
Nice.
So when I first heard that she was going to be Aja, I figured, that's perfect. Because if you go back and you watch Lemonade Mouth, the Disney Channel original movie, she's basically an in-your-face, you know, basically rebelling against everything kind of character. So I knew at least Aja and Kimber. I have known nothing about Aubrey Peoples at the time when this first, when the news first hit of who the cast was going to be. And she's, she's only really done several different things. She was in Burn Notice for an episode. She was in Grey's Anatomy for an episode. She was in Sharknado, of all things.
Oh, my goodness.
Sharknado. Don't criticize Sharknado.
No.
It's an awesome, horrible movie, and I love it.
It's a cult following thing for Sharknado, but yeah, that's not.
She has a seasons 2 to 3, and then season 4 to present. She's got a starring role on the ABC TV Nashville thing. She's only done 3 films, and since 2014, there's direct to VOD Rage, A Conversation, and Frank Meets God, where she played Anne Frank, and then Jim and the Holograms. I don't know. So
she's practically a no name at this point because she's been in things, but she hasn't like been.
She's been more TV than film. I would say that the Gem film was kind of her breakout debut, most fame. I don't know, but as far
it's
as
movie.
TV
yeah,
stuff,
it's a blockbuster movie. Well, it's a movie, maybe not a blockbuster.
It's a blockbuster. It's a blockbuster flop, just like all the other blockbuster stores
flop. It's a block bluster.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, speaking of people's, Audrey people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Aubrey, I think,
I actually enjoyed her, and she actually did her own singing, which I appreciate, because I actually thought she had a fairly good voice. It wasn't Britta, but it was a pretty good voice for as young as an artist she is.
I agree with that. I really liked that.
Yeah. So basically the movie is, it basically spins the traditional Gem story to be something more modern.
It spins it into spin cycle. You get little bits here and there of it. But that's about it. Okay.
I really think that BB-8 and R2-D2 got together and had a baby, it would be this robot.
I thought that too. I'm like, this is kind of like a version of BB-8.
I mean, see, like, I don't know what's worse, you know, R2-D2 Bumblebee or this thing. Like, see, like, we live in an age where holograms and projections and green, that all that stuff can be done.
Yeah.
Why did it have to be a little Wally looking wannabe robot?
I thought it was cute, but that's not synergy.
No, it wasn't synergy.
But to be honest, I mean, how could they have made the synergy?
How could they have not? We have all, look at all the special effects and CGI stuff they have in Hollywood
today.
Yeah,
but I worry that it had been come across a little more cheesy than even this came across. You know what I mean? Because like they have to make it work because, okay, let's just say that they're her father and they do pull it off. They make it believable for me that he was able to be this inventor guy that invented this high tech stuff. If he would have actually made a hologram, I don't think that would have worked for me because that's a little bit too far, I think. You have to make something that would actually work. And I don't know. I mean, they would have had to bring some really sci-fi things into that to really make it like, oh, he's special. Well, how much special? Like what? Like an alien came down from the outer space and put something in his brain special? Or
he went to Starfleet Academy. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you know.
Actually, I think
how much lead up that they'd have to do to build that to make it reasonable and make sense to a audience that one half of them might have seen or half of them might not have seen, but you have to be able to tell it within a couple seconds to be able to make the story work. So it's like, okay, if they would have had to spend so much time explaining how it is that he'd have this ability to make holograms, then you would have spent way too much time. So they had to have something that worked. So as much as I'm like down with the fact that it's not synergy, it kind of works to the extent that they could tell it without having to give too much detail for it. Does that make sense?
So do you think this movie would have been better off if they went more the sci-fi route?
No.
All I'm saying is I've seen a number of movies where somebody is a tech billionaire, jillionaire, trillionaire, whatever, and they have, okay, as much as most of us really hate Age of Extinction, look at what Stanley Tucci's character and look at all the Michael Bay Transformers stuff. You mean to tell me that they couldn't realistically have a giant synthesizer keyboard that projects holograms in this movie? Seriously?
Well, that's the thing. I see where Amy's coming from, because
the technology has to exist or be close to being existing right now. I mean, you can't make somebody suddenly have the huge jump in a technology jump like that without like having more of a build up to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you have to make it suspend our disbelief. I would not believe that if they said, oh, they're making holograms now, because the holograms that they have now that they've been able to show are not like they are. You have to have a screen. It's got to have some sort of smoke. You know, it's clunky. It's really clunky right now. So for them to go out of their way and say, oh, now we've got holograms, I'm like, my suspension of disbelief is not going to be held by that. I'm sorry. If it's like 50 years in the future and they're showing this as a futuristic gem, they're not doing that. They're doing a modern day. They're having a modern take. It has to feel modern. And so it wouldn't work for me if it was like that. I mean, that she'd be dancing around and doing stuff. And I'm like, you know, right now what they did was that they just showed a projection, but they had to have something solid. And you put those in earrings and coming out, I wouldn't believe it. I would not believe it. Things are getting smaller all the time, but I just wouldn't believe it. It wouldn't have been enough for me to believe that. So I'm glad they took it the way they did, but the robot comes off more like a gimmick than an actual, you know, thing. And I don't know. I think maybe the way that they did the script and everything, maybe some future version of Jem will be able to pull it off. But right now,
I honestly don't think it's ever going to. Okay, so this movie had a $5 million budget. Anyone else in Hollywood could have made this movie work with a $5 million budget. The box office for this was $2.3
million,
is what it earned. It did not do well. And as we've already said, it was pulled from 200 and something theaters like by the midway through the first week of it opening.
Not only was it pulled, but what is it? Is Cho is his name?
Yeah.
He made a Chu.
Okay. Yeah. Chu makes a public announcement at some convention somewhere how miserable it was doing and how he botched everything. I was like, okay, you didn't have to go that far, but wow.
Okay, so I got another question for you, because this was actually going to start off as an animated film. Do you think this would have came out better if it was an animated movie?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Hands down.
That's where I think it went wrong. I think if they would have stayed with animation, they could have brought in synergy.
Much more you can do. It's so much more forgiving. But here's the downside, is that people will look at it and make their snap decisions. Not necessarily fans, but I'm like, just general population will look at it and say, oh, this is a kid's movie. That's all they're going to look at it as, oh, it's a little kid's movie. But to be honest, G and PG movies, especially animated ones, make buko bucks. So, there's an upside to that.
There's a line in the Pixar movie Inside Out.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
What was it?
She hasn't seen it yet.
Okay. Oh, you haven't seen it. Oh.
There's a line, and this is not a spoiler, so you will not be spoiled. This is just a funny line. There's a line in the movie where one of the emotions, the fear emotion,
He's my favorite.
Watching.
I love Lewis Black. I need to see it.
No. That's anger.
It's anger.
That's anger. Fear is Paul Rugg or Paul Rudd or whatever. Whichever one of them people. So fear, he's the purple one. He's the one that deals with all the fears and everything else. There's a line where he's – because when Riley, the main character, is asleep, they – monitor her dreams and make sure she doesn't have any nightmares. And basically how they do the dream thing is they basically try to make it a movie type of thing. And in this one scene, he's like, pick a plot line already. And that's really what I thought of after I watched the Jem movie, because you have so much going on. You've got their rise to fame. You've got Erica, and we'll talk about the whole Erica Raymond thing later. You've got Erica Raymond coming to sweep her away, coming to change her and get her away from the holograms.
And that was the fantastic part, is the fact that she swoops in and gets these no-name kids off the block and pretty much turns them into famous people.
Right. So you got that. And then the movie turns into a scavenger hunt, because apparently Synergy is not complete.
Yeah.
Apparently Wally and Eva and everybody else dumped Synergy in the garbage over various different places over the
It's her father's
Los Angeles County. Yeah. So at this point, I'm like, okay, this is a movie about no-name musicians becoming big. This is a movie about a scavenger hunt to find the stuff to complete Synergy. This is a movie about Erica Raymond being a badass and wanting to just rule everybody. And I'm like, pick a plot, stay with the, like, if they had just stayed with the whole thing of having them on the journey of becoming stars, mm-hmm. it would have been so much better.
I agree.
It really would have. You agree or you disagree?
No, I agree.
Okay. Because the whole scavenger hunt thing, which it leads to the Santa Monica Pier, and they end up under the pier. They all have a jam session, and Rio Pachenko joins in.
That's because he was the intern babysitter slash driver slash sage advice person. I mean, he kind of played a couple roles, right? Oh, and romance interest.
Oh, and I should say, I have this wrong. Because, okay, so for me personally, the Rio that's in this movie is not the Rio. He is not the, because it's not Rio Pachenko. It's Rio Raymond. And guess what? His dad was the one that, my head hurts. So
his dad has kind of put him in charge, and Erica mm-hmm. is kind of the regent that has all of the cards. So in other words, it's also a story about how a dude takes back his throne.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to say something here. Minus the towel scene, which was kind of entertaining. Okay. Anyways, I honestly did not think I could hate a Rio more than I did in the cartoon.
Oh, seriously? You
somehow
managed
it. There was nothing.
I thought it was creepy, to be honest. But
I did. He was creepy. There was nothing I really liked about this guy. Oh, just like go away.
I kind of went okay with it because you've heard stories about people that get into music business and they fall in love with their producers and blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, I guess I could take it that much. What the creep factor is that I think that these girls are like in high school still, and he definitely looks like he's out of high school. So it's like, hello,
see, okay, you brought up another thing. They're four teenagers. That's the one thing I did have a problem with this. I'm like, they're four teenagers. Aunt Bailey's like, yeah, go. You have a great time. I'm just like, I have a hard time thinking that
I
you're
would not
like,
be okay with that.
16-year-old
like, okay,
go off
with you.
Exactly. Yeah. I had a hard time with that. I'm just like, because I really wish they did make them older. Just a little bit older, like in their 20s. Not just
maybe they. Maybe they have they're out of high school and they're like they're doing jobs at fast food restaurants to help make the rent, that type of thing. That would have been mm-hmm. a little bit more believable too.
But yeah, I was just like,
especially living in California, you know how the real estate is there right now.
Yeah, the thing is, it's just like Aunt Bailey's just like, yeah, go and live your dreams. I'm like, Kimber's probably 16 at this point. You know, I'm just like, no.
I was a little concerned with the jailbait factor in this. Yes, there was okay.
It's so creepy. And then, well, we'll get to the end credits there.
We'll talk about that last. So as the movie goes on, we have the scavenger hunt. We eventually assemble all of Synergy, and it's the full message from Emmett Benton. And all that.
I got a question for you here too. So she's mm-hmm. doing all the, he's doing all this for Jerrica. What about poor Kimber? Why is Kimber throwing a fit? Like, why is Dad spending so much time with you? Really?
Well, Kimber didn't really throw. Well, she threw fits in the cartoon series, but it was all about Jerrica in the cartoon series too, most of the time.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I mean,
it still ticks me off about that. I'm just like, well, we know who the favorite is in their family.
Yeah, especially after this movie. It almost it look like Gemma's an only child, or Jerrica's an only child.
Exactly. You would think that, you know, Kimber was also one of the adopted sisters that she met up with.
Yeah.
Not her full-blooded sister.
But we know that not to be true, because when they come to the house with Bailey, I mean, it's both the girls. So was Kimber just too young? I just, it's kind of like she's an afterthought. get put into some of the videos. It would have been cool if he was talking to both of them rather than just Jem. But and that's just little detail stuff that I think they lost by the wayside, that I think they said, oh, we'll just focus on this. I'm like, well, technically, he would have been focused on both of them because they're both close in age.
Yeah, because the one part where where Synergy is showing her dad teaching her guitar, I'm like, why couldn't they put that as a Kimber character? You know,
teaching both of them.
That's what I'm saying. Just that little bit of just replacing that character, saying this is Kimber, just that 5 seconds would have made a difference. Be like, oh, you know what? He does care about his youngest daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the second movie. The second movie is about Kimber.
She would like it that way.
this is the search to get the next upgrade.
There's not going to be a second movie.
I'm just throwing it out there. Come on.
If there is a second movie, it will be a really, really bad direct. You know, we all know about those really, really bad direct DVD sequels. Like, you take Cruel Intentions, okay? Cruel Intentions, that first film with Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon and Sarah Michelle, that first film is amazing. They did two or three different direct-to-video, direct-to-DVD sequels with completely different casts. Oh. Like, one of the sequels is basically the exact same plot of the first movie, just with different actors.
I thought you were going to say, like, Disney sequels.
No. That's not as bad as Cruel Intentions. Or Wild Things. The original Wild Things had Kevin Bacon, Matt Dillon.
In all fairness, the first Wild Things wasn't good.
Okay, it was. Yeah, I'm not saying it was. I'm saying that's another one that has Wild Things 2, Wild Things 3, and one of the movies has the exact same plot as the first movie, except with different cast. So if the Jim franchise, the Jim film franchise, does get a sequel, I'm pretty much betting it'll go direct to disc or direct to digital. Yeah, it's not gonna. With as how bad as this did in theaters,
I think Hasbro needs to stay away from John Chu. I mean, he destroyed.
Is it really
G.I.
all him? Is it really all him, or is it?
Well, he's. I mean, he's the director. He had the final say in it. I mean, look. Like I said, look what he did to G.I. Joe. Okay, Storm Shadow Todd, but that's about it. Okay.
Yes, but they came back with that. They had somebody else take a hold of it, and I think it did better.
Yeah.
Rise of Cobra is hit or miss, but Retaliation was pretty good. And the way that I see those two movies is one was more animated-based, the other was more action figure-based. But anyway, that's G.I. Joe. We'll talk about that on a whole other show later at some point.
Yes,
but
guns would have really vastly improved this, right?
Yeah, kinda. The whole Erica Raymond thing, I don't care. I don't care that they gender bent Eric.
I don't care.
I really do not care.
Can you see a guy doing this? You would all think that he'd be gay.
There is no one in
Which
Hollywood
would actually
right
be
now.
A good thing, to be honest, now that I'm thinking about that, that actually would actually work.
There is no actor right now, or even when this movie was being made in Hollywood, that's somewhat young enough but still looks older enough to be... If you're going to go the route of having Rio be the son, there's no male actor in Hollywood that could pull off an Eric Raymond. There just isn't right now, unless you try to thin down Tom Cruise and have him be angry.
No, I know.
But I'm just saying, like... There is nobody. So I'm fine with them gender bending Eric into Erica. I enjoyed Juliette Lewis. I think she did an amazing job as Erica.
She was brilliant. She was.
So, like, you know, this is one thing I was coming in. I was like, I was going to have a hard time with. I'm like, why did they do this? But I should have had confidence because I love Juliette Lewis. I mean, if you guys have seen Whip It, I love that show with her. Mm-hmm. She plays such a badass. I love it. But I'm like, after seeing her in that movie, I'm like, I should have had the confidence that she was going to pull this off. And she did. Her and Molly Ringwald, when they finally came on the screen together, and I'm like, oh, it's some of my favorite 80s people together. This is so nostalgic for me.
They did a good job with that. I agree with that. That totally worked. And I really, and just to throw it out there too, I really liked how they used Samantha Britta and Christy in the show too. I think it was really, really tasteful. That was in when it comes to 80s nods with actors and those guys, they did. That was probably the best part of the whole movie that I could not criticize in one bit. I think they did really, really great. Even the parts where they actually said something, I thought it was just spot on, perfect. They did great with that. That was perfect.
Yeah. Samantha looked like she was having a lot of fun.
Oh yes, yeah. She totally.
She Sam and Britta were awesome, but seeing Christy, oh.
Well, she even said she's not an actress. But guess what?
No, I know. I'm not. Yeah, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing. And I know. Yeah, you were right.
I was right. When we were interviewing her, I even mentioned, I'm like, "Are you playing Lindsay?" And she didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything.
And I
was
just like, "Huh."
No, it's absolutely like I love the fact that she played Lindsay. I just wish that there was a little bit more to it. And I know Christy is not an actress, and that's fine. And the little nod that we got that she's the editor in chief of Rolling Stone or something or other, and you know, I thought that was really, really cool. I just wish that instead of having whoever, because I know it wasn't Kurtzman and Orsi, whoever was writing on that, I just wish they would have come to her. I wish Chu would have come to her more to have more of the Gem feel, because this movie is like I already said, six or seven different plot lines in under 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah. But again, the reason why they relied on that is so that it's like a cliche thing that they don't have to do too much to build up the characters and create a thing. They can spend more time on doing other things in the show rather than, we've got to build this up. We've got to build up. Actually, we're going to tie it to this little cliche. Everything is going to be a little cliche to make it work so that we don't have to tell too much that we can keep going. I thought it was smart, but there's a few things about it that just... Again, you're losing the ability to be able to pull. You're stuck in a little bit of a rut when you do that.
I would like to see what Christy's reaction is now that it's been out for a while and they know that it bombed. I don't know. Have you heard about her?
I don't know if she could possibly say anything, to be honest.
I know, that's the thing.
I don't know if I should say anything on air, but I did. I'll say this. After I saw the film.
Uh-huh.
I did message her and I just, you know, said, you know, hey, just thought, you know, the movie was fairly cool and whatever. And she had written me back and all that, but I don't.
Yeah, I would have to ask her first. Before
because Christy's such an excellent writer, you know. She could help this movie out so much. Like I said, the whole scavenger hunt, like Amy said, it was just seemed like a waste.
You know? I don't know if it was a complete waste, but it just kind of, it's kind of like, I don't know what else they could have done. I mean, the way that they had the plot at this point, I mean, I'd have to really think about like, well, what else could they have done? Could they have, you know, what if they just removed the Synergy plot completely and just have Synergy not there? I mean, would that made a better thing, or would that people would have been angry at not having Synergy in it? But then at least they wouldn't have anything to be angry at because that's not Synergy. I'm like, well, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they could have done something else, like it was a program on her computer or something like that. I don't know. It's weird. It's kind of hard to. It would have been interesting to be a fly on the wall to see what they were throwing at the, you know, what could we do that would really work for this? Or, you know, was it all just the writer? It'd be really interesting to have that type of, you know, a conversation with like the person who wrote it and like that. But I don't know if it would be possible.
Well, I'll give the film this credit. They did improve on one character. And that was Zipper. I loved Zipper.
Yes. That was awesome. I liked that.
Zipper. And the thing is, the guy that played him, he auditioned on YouTube and they hired him. They liked him.
Nice.
That was the other big thing about this movie. They used a lot of, they got a lot of fan footage from YouTube and stuff for the scene where they're showing, you know, how Jem has influenced people. And they basically used actual live YouTube, not live, but you know what I mean, actual YouTube videos spliced throughout the movie.
Well, and that, again, that also was a little bit of a gimmick, or not a gimmick, but a cliche as well, is that mm-hmm. how would somebody who's out in the sticks in, you know, the suburbs be able to move up to Hollywood, and they'd have to be a YouTube sensation. Does it happen? It does, but does it happen all the time? No.
I mean, Justin Bieber started out on YouTube.
True. I mean, it's happened, but you're talking about a 1% type thing. Yeah. It doesn't happen that often, and it's like really far and few between. But running on that cliche works for this movie. I think it also works for the fact that you're also talking to a new generation who is very much social media. And so in that, I thought they were being really smart. The only downside is that when the next technology comes out, it will date the movie. So say 20 years from now, when we're not using Facebook and Twitter and all of these, YouTube anymore, and it's the next big thing, then all of this will date this movie seriously. But I mean, that won't be too bad. I don't know. But it could also open a whole new, a whole new generation to Gem and the Holograms, because a change in technology means that it might actually do better in that era than it does right now on the big screen. Coming back to the whole hologram things, maybe by then we'll have figured out how to do holograms and it'll be just so easy.
All right. So the whole movie, even I was wondering this. Where are the misfits? Where are the misfits? Mm-hmm. Where are the misfits? Because even if you're taking the basic, simple plot of the original animated series, just its basic elements, where the misfits are on top and their songs are better and everything else, and they start out as the stars, I'm wondering, okay, where are they? Where are they? Where are they? And then, guess what? Let's set up a sequel with a mid-credits scene. Yay!
Oh my gosh.
And let's use someone who quite literally needs auto-tune because her voice sucks.
Don't even get me started with Kesha. She was the worst one out of those misfits. I cannot... Okay, I'm not a fan of hers to begin with, but her acting skills were so piss poor. I'm just like, really? You're taking someone who you could be like pizzazz. First of all, the costuming for the misfits, they all need to be set on fire.
That actually would be kind of cool to see them on fire. I mean, their costumes, like, you know, pulling a Hunger Games fire. Sorry. Yeah,
that wig of pizzazz's. That's something you buy at the Halloween store. It was so horrible. And I gotta admit, I did like who they chose for Roxy because she was my favorite character in Pitch Perfect. So I was happy with that. You know? But
maybe it was a bad day. You know, when she gets on stage, it'd actually be kind of cool, right? The green hair would actually kind of work.
Well,
right?
It was just like, it was such a bad nylon wig. It was at her eyebrows. What the hell? What was that? It was just like, you know, caterpillars just laid on her face or something. I'm like, I don't know. But Kesha, no. She was a horrible choice for pizzazz. Absolutely horrible. That was just like so miserable, that last scene. Because I knew that they were in the closing credits. I'm like, I'm going to finally get my misfits. And I was like, what the hell?
Well, and the way that she's luring him in is that, Rio fell in love with Jem.
Okay.
I was like, now we're turning this into a revenge girlfriend movie. Oh, no.
Pick
your flavor, right? Pick your
just like Kesha, everyone should stay away from pizzazz. Who knows where that's been?
Ouch. Jeez. Ouch. Ouch. Ouch.
I mean, like I said, like I when I watched the movie, I enjoyed it. I felt something for Jerrica and Kimber's emotions, even though Kimber didn't show a lot of emotion. But
she actually was center.
yeah. I mean, I did enjoy watching the film. It's not something I'm going to go back to and watch again, but just being able to
see it twice.
Okay, well, yeah. Sorry.
It's all your fault, Mike.
No, it's not.
I had to take notes the second time, darn it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I'm glad I saw the film. it's not exactly what I wanted out of a Gem movie. I don't just want, oh my God, this has to be true to the cartoon series. I wanted something that was better written, something that was honestly better directed.
Something that actually flowed, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. You are on a train that's on a roller coaster track at this point, because that movie has highs and lows, and the lows sometimes outweigh the highs. So we have, okay, so between this year and last year, we've had two Gem updates. We've got The Comet came first in March of last year, mm-hmm. and then we had the movie in October. Hands down, easily, The Comet is so much better.
I agree.
Oh,
I,
my gosh.
The movie, but they also have a long term.
Well, yeah, they do.
Two hours is kind of hard to throw a lot of stuff into. But it wouldn't have been that hard. I think they just tried to do so much. They almost overextended themselves in a sense.
And that's why I said they need to streamline the plot and make it about Gem and the holograms and the rise to fame, and not throw in a Wally Eva scavenger hunt and revenge.
That's the thing. There's plenty of movies in Hollywood that have done great in two-hour movies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of them out there, so I don't know why they couldn't do it with this.
Well, and apparently, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, because if I think they maybe, what kind of a movie would it have been if they had just taken Synergy, the robot, and the all of the the scavenger hunt stuff out? What kind of a movie would it have been? Did they put that in there because fans absolutely wanted to have a Synergy? Or I mean, just I don't know. I guess I don't know whether or not they were catering too much to fans, or, you know.
Like I said, if you want to make it a love triangle between Gem, Pizzazz, and Rio, and you want to make it about Gem's rise to fame, you start with the misfits in the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why they put the misfits at the end credits, because they were hoping against hope that the movie would make some money to actually get a sequel.
But so that's the thing, is if you're taking the gamble that you're going to maybe not be able to have the misfits till number two, you should probably not go that route, because one hit wonders happen all the time. And mm-hmm. if you wanted to really cater to fans, you're going to have both of them in it. So it'd be a battle, a band battle is what it would be.
See, that's what it, I think that's what it should have been.
But that's also what the comics kind of did. So
yeah,
they actually did it right.
I mean, they pulled it off. And the other thing about the comic is you have more diversity in the comic than you do in the movie.
That's true.
I mean, you got in the comic, you got Kimber as a lesbian. She's in love with Stormer.
Yeah.
You've got,
and Stormer's,
you know,
in love with her.
Right.
See, that's what I was saying. I wish in the movie they would have made them a little bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it would probably give it more of like a PG-13 rating, if they actually interacted with all the you know, the love triangle stuff and everything. But mm-hmm. I honestly think it would probably made it better. I mean, I'm not against a good, clean, wholesome film. No, I think, you know, that's fine. But
if
it's just,
go back and look at Gem. Yes, it was a kids' TV show, but they were not little girls in that. That was very adult in that as well. I mean, they were dealing with some pretty big themes that translated really well, because it was an animated show. But those ladies that were on there were not like 16 going to high school. That was the Starlight Girls.
mm-hmm.
You're getting them
exactly
Starlight Girls here, and yeah, I think it would have been all right to make it a little bit older. They are not catering to new fans that are in high school right now. These are old fans that have been out of high school for a good 20 years. They would be completely fine seeing a bunch of adult ladies on the screen and how they come into being. Hey, you could say that, like I said, they could be in their 20s and working to try to help pay rent with Miss Bailey. And that would have worked perfectly. Rio could have been like, you know, the boy next door that, you know, Gem argues to have him come in as their, you know, roadie or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I
or stage manager or something.
He's my
contract reader.
Well, the thing is, because they were, I remember seeing an interview with John Chu, and he's like, "Oh, I love this. You know, I love Jem." And da, da, da. I'm like, I don't think he does, because I don't think he actually understood what it's the feel about it. And the one part that I had a hard time with this movie more than anything else is pretty much everyone knew who Jem was already. There was no secret identity except for when she first wrote that email to Jerrica, and she's like, "Hi, this is Jerrica Benton. I'm Jem." I'm like, done. I'm like, that's not right. I don't care for that. I like the secret identity that she could go around, you know, as Jerrica and have a normal life.
They started the movie out talking about that. Your Facebook wall is you're hiding behind this wall. Everybody's got a secret identity. I think that they would have, if they pushed more on that and kept away from the, like you said, the synergy, sequence where they run, the hunt. What is that thing again? Doggone it.
Scavenger hunt.
Yeah. Sorry, my brain is like all over the place right now. But yeah, if they would have focused more on the secret identity and all of that, I don't know.
Yeah.
So where did it actually go wrong for you? When were you like, throw it down, I can't watch this anymore, this is not a Jem movie?
I honestly think it was like shortly after that.
Where they did the scavenger hunt? Or?
Well, I think I had a
when
hard
Rio time. Rio starts singing.
Well, I think it's right when they got into the Starlight House. Mm. And I'm just like, okay, so it kind of threw me out. I'm like, okay, so you guys could be major rock stars. They're catering to your every needs.
They're in the rock star suite, yeah.
I was just like, but yet you have to share a room with all four of you. I'm like, time out. That's not how you treat rock stars. That's not how you treat your clients, you know. And I think that kind of threw me out.
They're just a bunch of kids, right?
Yeah, and then the whole, you know, Erica was taking them out to get. I'm like, oh, I really wish they involved Shayna more with her fashion expertise instead of having Erica tell them what they need to wear and everything. I really had a hard time with that too.
That's part of the problem with that is the fact that they made them younger girls. Now
exactly
she'd been older.
And I guess it started off wrong because I was thinking they shouldn't be teenagers. So I guess it started off wrong for me from the beginning. Yes.
I can tell you exactly where mine went wrong. I was buying everything all the way up until about an hour and 10 minutes in. When Erica comes to Jerrica, Erica to Jerrica. Oh my gosh, wow. I just realized how much that rhymes. Mm-hmm. The alliteration. Okay, so when she comes to Jem and she's trying to change the contract, I got bad vibes. I was like, okay, no, this is not that. One, Jerrica Jem, from the beginning, she works hard to bring the rest of her sisters with her. It did not track. She's always depended on her sisters being there. And then all of a sudden, now she's signing a contract and cutting them out. And that happened really like whiplash. I thought, whoa, 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 wait a second. Wait, stop the press. She's cutting out everybody. She's a solo act now. When did this happen? And I just kind of got like, wait a second. You didn't build it up very well. It didn't have that, oh man, she's come to a crossroads decision. It was just like, oh, it kind of happened and you didn't realize that she was signing over this thing. I had to go back a second time to watch it and go, wait a minute, how did that happen? Because all of a sudden now she's a solo act. When did that? And it should have been one of the things in the movie that changed everything. But yet, it didn't feel like that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because they're up, and 10 minutes later, they were back being best.
Exactly. It didn't happen. Yeah, exactly. So the long-term impact was weird. It didn't really.
I don't think Aja would have put up with that bullcrap.
No. Yeah, the thing is, she would have known that this would have pissed everybody else off. She didn't want to go to Hollywood to begin with. She was camera shy. And the only reason why it happened is because she didn't know how to delete something. And Kimber takes the video and puts it viral. It's like, she would have not signed that contract. She would have taken it to the rest of them. She wouldn't have done it that way. And that's when I was like, okay, this is not a Jem movie. This is not it. Because Jem would not have done that.
Jericho would not have done that. How they built it up in the movie doesn't track either. So it was just kind of like, well, they threw it in and it didn't make sense.
The buildup in the movie, what it amounts to is just so much false drama.
Which is not unheard of in a teen movie.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, come on. That buildup and that quote-unquote breakdown of the sisters, that was just...
The emotional integrity wasn't there.
No, not at all.
And that's where I was like, okay, I could have bought it as just a regular band movie. Gem movie up until that point. I mean, that being said, I mean, there are a lot of things that they didn't do that was the same. They did take a modern take to it. They did have to change a few things, and I was all right with those changes. But what really broke me was that, because I thought, you know, back in the show, the spirit of Gem, she would not do that to her own family. You can change things to a point, but is it always been about family? Yes. It's always been about the closeness with her biological sister and the other two ladies, it's the band, how close they are. And to go off and break that was the one rule out of Gem, you know,
lore,
originality that you just could not break. And they did. And that's where I was like, okay, no, this is not, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying this at all. It would have been in the spirit if Erica had gone to Bailey and paid for the house and was holding that over Gem and the holograms.
Oh, that's good.
Rather than holding it one over Gem, it would have been much more sleazy. It would have been completely workable for Erica. That would have worked for me.
They need to hire us to write that.
See, that's the thing. This is one of the reasons why I said there needs to be a female director and a female writer on this. It doesn't have to be Christy, although it would be awesome if it was her, because she not like in that interview. I don't know if it was the interview that we did here on Showtime Synergy, if it was the interview that I did a few years ago. It was either the second or the third interview I did with her. I point blank asked her, "What would you do if there was a Gem animated series, whatever else?" She said, "I know exactly what I would do, but I can't tell you." She would do if Hasbro would. Yeah, she knows exactly how to update Gem for the 21st century if she was allowed to do it by Hasbro and by whomever. And like I said, I think the comic is doing a damn good job of giving us that classic 80s little nostalgia bits here and there sprinkled throughout, while at the same time telling a whole individual, updated, diverse story. The movie is so splintered, it's littered with so many plot holes and plot devices and cliches and plot lines, and it just isn't what... I'm glad I saw the movie. Because I've only watched it once. I watched it, I took my notes and whatever else, and it was all right.
Oh, go ahead.
It was all right, but there are worse movies out there. Like, everybody's making Gem and the Holograms to be out the worst movie in history.
I agree. I think the visceral reaction to it is a little overreaction.
Yeah. Overkill.
I agree, because I saw movies last year, and there was a lot more that was crap. If anyone has seen Unfriended, they know what I'm talking about.
To the point of pulling the movie from from theaters, that's overkill. That's way over dramatic. I that just shocked the heck out of me, because I thought, you know, this is by far not the worst movie ever. I mean, if you look at it, just take out the Gem and the Holograms part, and it's just a band movie. It's like, it's not that bad. I mean, it doesn't know what it's doing, and it doesn't. It keeps on trying to pretend like it's all these different kinds of movies. It's having an identity crisis, and that's okay. But is it by far the worst movie ever? It's like, no, it's not.
It wasn't even the worst movie last year. So,
I mean, if anything, it's going to make it track as the most strangest movie to be pulled from the theaters. But, you know, has it ever happened before? Has a movie ever been pulled like that before?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites. But...
Which one?
Space Chips.
Oh, well,
okay. I love this movie. It's one of my favorites. But it came out. It's so funny. I actually might watch it tonight. So
it was pulled seriously from the theater.
It was pulled because it came out the same week as The Dark Knight. That's pretty much a killer right there. And so, so me and my friend were like, it was her birthday, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna go see Space Chimps, you know. And we went to the theater, and they're like, oh no, the studios pulled it today. And we're like, what are you talking about? And so we went to another theater to think, oh, let's see what, you know. And it happened at that theater too, and we're like, what the heck? It was out only like 9 days. And so when it finally got to the Dollar Theater, we're like, okay, this is gonna be crap. But it's only a buck, you know. And we're just like, and we were laughing our heads off. We're just like, why was this pulled? I don't get it, because it was up against The Dark Knight. Now, I can't remember what this was
up against. Only because it wasn't going to perform well? There wasn't anything offensive in it?
Because it wasn't doing well, because everyone was going to go see Batman.
Okay. So it was just a bad placement. So it wasn't because it was bad. It was just bad placement.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. All right,
so to make this interesting, since we're talking... Since we're talking about films that were pulled, okay, so I'm on MovieWeb, and it's searched, it's MovieWeb.com. Movies released October 23rd, 2015, okay? The Last Witch Hunter.
Okay.
Bone Tomahawk.
The Last Witch Hunter got pulled?
No, this is the ones
that were
out.
These are movies that were out the same day that Jim was out.
Okay, all right.
Last Witch Hunter. Bone Tomahawk, Suffragette, Gem, Rock the Casbah, Paranormal Activity 5, 6, 7, whatever, the Ghost Dimension.
That was number 4.
I Smile Back, Asthma, Attack on Titan Part 2, Clinger. Let's see what's okay. Extraordinary Tales, and A Wonderful Cloud. Okay,
that was
the
bad
only.
One.
The only movie on October 23rd, 2015 that I even know that came out was Gem and the Hologram. I know nothing about any of those other movies. Yeah. So I don't know, like Nicole's saying, you know, you had Space Chimps up against The Dark Knight. I can see why Space Chimps would get pulled, because it's the friggin' Joker, for crap's sake. Say what you will about Heath Ledger, but it's the Joker. Okay, I can understand that kind of stuff. But the stuff that was released on the same day that Jim was released, there's no reason. There's no blockbuster that day. There's nothing that day that could have overpowered it.
It was purely being pulled just because of the visceral reaction the fans were having to it.
Yeah.
But let's see, it was out, what, 4 weeks before they pulled it?
No, it was only like 2 weeks.
It was 2 weeks.
All right, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
I mean, I would understand. Okay, yeah. I don't know. You got me there. It's just completely blow my mind. It's completely blown my mind that they had that visceral of a reaction to it. I was like, well, did you guys read the comics? It's like, that's when you go like, okay, I don't like the movie, but I like the comics. So there's my reaction. I'm not going to go to the movie anymore, but I'm going to go read that wonderful comic that's out at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, you know, would I love to see an animated series of Gem again? Sure. Only if, as I've already said, for the last hour that we've been talking about this.
Have a woman writer or Christy.
have Christy there, and have pretty much all the women writers from Transformers Prime, and, you know, have Margaret Scott on there, have whoever you want on there, have Samantha and Britta back as the singing and speaking voice of Gem. Any of the cast
that
it's...
But they might
not
want to do that again.
No,
I mean, that's a big commitment.
Well, it is a big commitment, but if... Let's just say they do an animated series that, let's say it has 65 episodes. Yeah, that's a big commitment, but...
That is a big commitment.
Still, you could still do...
I don't know. Britta's got a new album out. She's probably going on tour and stuff, so...
Well, I understand. I'm saying if it was done properly.
I honestly don't think you need to get the same voice actors or the same talent back, but you need to get a decent writer in there.
It would be cool to have like them come and do a couple of shows or something like that, like, you know, guest in. Yeah. That would be fantastic. I'd be like, oh, I rec-
recognize that voice. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that would
be cool. I don't think you need to.
I don't know if you'd want to get them back.
Because, you know. I mean, look what happened. They did that with Peter Cullen, and now people are like, oh, it's Peter Cullen is prime again. People are complaining about it now. So it's just like, it's good to
Are they complaining about Megatron?
Well, no one's going to complain about Frank Welker.
I mean, I don't know why everyone's complaining about Optimus. I mean, everyone knows the last 30 some odd years it's been Peter Cullen. I mean, now if you're going to go in there and have Hot Rod / Rodimus, you bet your ass you better be getting Judd Nelson or Dick Gaudier.
I don't think so. I mean, we had another person do Rodimus in animated, and I thought it was just fine.
Yeah, I agree.
No, that was Judd Nelson.
Was that Judd Nelson?
Yep.
Oh. Way to go.
Seriously? Well, he had such a small role. I mean, geez.
Yeah, he was such. It was like the Transwarp three-parter. But yeah, it was Judd Nelson.
My boyfriend didn't even get a line.
Wow.
He got a cool purple sword.
He looked awesome.
Yeah. All right, so let's see here.
We haven't finished yet.
What was I? Huh? What?
We're getting sidetracked.
I think we pretty much said our thoughts on it. It's just like, I think we all agreed that. Somehow we enjoyed it, but it's not a gem movie.
I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the movie for what it was. It had some of the gem elements, but not all of them, and not done in the proper way.
Like I said, that it breaks it right in the middle, right of hour and 10 minutes. That's when she approaches her and says, "I want to advance." And she's like, "Oh yeah, we can do that, but you need to sign this nice little thing." Blah 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 blah. It's like it's a contract. Don't sign it. You have to go run it past your sisters. And she's like, oh, I'm going to sign it. And then I was like, oh, now she's going solo. I was like, oh, geez. I don't care if it was implied. It was just, you need to, that's where it broke it for me. I think up until then it was doing fine. Even all of the weird, strange things that they were doing, it would like, the scavenger hunt and all of that. It was okay. I was all right with that. I mean, think about it. Even the original did a scavenger hunt. They did that whole musical season.
Yeah, they did, but that was one episode, and that was to
win
a prize.
They also did a scavenger hunt in China.
They did win a prize.
That didn't work out well.
True, but they were trying to find the gem star earrings there.
I don't care. It's still a scavenger hunt, and it did not work out well.
All right, folks. I mean, on a scale of 0 to 5, I'll give it a 3.
2.
I'm going to be really generous and give it a 4.
That Whoa. Was,
you know. It's almost half.
Oh, you're doing a scale of 10?
No, I said 0 to 5,
oh,
but
zero
okay.
To 0 to 5. Nice. I'm sorry. I'm not thinking. You're right. It's a 3.
Yeah.
It's a half. It's an almost.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah.
It was a good attempt, but was it the visceral reaction and, death threats to the director? No.
That was just so stupid. Like, seriously, death threats over...
That did not ruin my childhood, let's just say that.
No. Because it brought back Juliette Lewis and Molly Ringwald from my childhood, which is awesome.
Yes.
The only problem with Molly Ringwald that I had in this movie has nothing to actually do with her. It has to do with whoever the hell was doing her makeup. They made her look ancient in this movie. She looked so old. I know she's old, but she didn't, I don't know. She just looked like she was in her 80s in this movie.
I like her hair.
We're going to take a quick break, come back, and tell you guys what's going to happen in the grand, truly outrageous finale of Showtime Synergy. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Christy Marks, creator of Gem and the Holograms, and you're listening to a truly outrageous podcast with Mike, Amy, and Nicole. It's Showtime Synergy.
All right, folks, we are back here on Showtime Synergy, and this is the 24th episode, and this is pretty much the penultimate one, because next time around, we're going to have the truly outrageous grand finale. And in that episode, we're going to go over all the feedback we've gotten in the last 2 years. We're all going to be assigning each person some episode. We all have 5 episodes from the cartoon series that we're going to go back and regrade, whether we liked it more, didn't like it more, or think it's good or bad. Or
we get to choose one ourselves. We get to choose one ourselves, right?
Okay, so this is for off air, but essentially what's going to happen is Nicole and I are going to team up and pick Amy's five episodes. Amy and Nicole are going to pick my five episodes and then all that. So, yeah, we'll all get a choice, except we're choosing each other's. But we're basically going to go over 15 of the 65 episodes, whatever they may be, whatever we think needs to be a regrade. What fashion? There is no fashion in the movie. So that's going to happen. We didn't talk about the music either, because there's no music, not any good music anyway. I'd rather listen to Adele, which I absolutely hate. Young Blood wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah, I kind of enjoyed it.
Young Blood. I thought it was a catchy tune.
Yeah. So.
Thanks.
Truly Outrageous finale. We're going to go over episodes, regrade them. We're going to give you the grades from the original. When we originally went through all the episodes, we're going to talk about your feedback. We're going to do a whole bunch of crazy stuff in the Truly Outrageous finale. And just because it is the Truly Outrageous finale does not mean that we are still not going to have gem content, because we are still going to be reviewing the comic. But depending on how the story arcs fall, we're going to review it in story arc order. So it'll be most likely two or three issues per podcast. Right now, they're in the middle of the Dark Gem storyline in the comic, and right now we're going to do issues 11 to 13 in one podcast, and then issues 14 to 16 in another podcast. So it'll be Dark Gem parts 1 and part 2. So that's what's coming up. We're still going to have Showtime Synergy content with the Gem comic, even though the overall podcast will be essentially done, because our original mission was to set forth and review all of the cartoon episodes, and we've done that at this point. No chanting. No
chanting.
No, come on. No chanting.
Use a canned fashion. Use a canned fashion.
Oh, Lord.
I forgot about it.
I will have a link in the show notes. Everybody, go pre-order Luck or Magic, Britta Phillips' new album, coming out April 29th of this year. So far, what I've heard of it's pretty cool. It really is. So go check that out. I will also have a link to Samantha's website, so you can go check out all her stuff as well. We are hopefully going to get more interviews from voice actresses and singing voices and all that stuff, so I'm working on that. So even though the crux of the podcast is done, we're still not done at this point.
We're still going on.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of us.
No.
Sadly,
yeah.
No.
But you can shut us up by just talking over us, right, Mike?
I don't always talk over you.
No, you're just doing it right now.
I am not. I waited till you stopped or when you're laughing.
No, it's just moving on. It's like, oh, we're not going to say anything about the music or the fashion. Oh.
Like I said, what music? What fashion?
There were four performances in this, and it wasn't that they weren't that bad. They were actually pretty cute.
Yeah, I kind of like the music.
I mean, let's just throw out the fact that Rio was singing, but that was still a cute sequence.
Yeah.
We didn't ever talk about that, did we?
Well, you guys can talk about the fashion. I don't care.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say
something. Silence. Great.
Hey. See?
Like I said, I wish they had more of Shauna's involvement.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to talk about specifically how they dressed the band. Like how, okay, so they didn't make all of their hair red, completely pink, all blue and all purple. They did like these just highlights of in the end. I mean, they did play around with it and stuff like that, put them in wigs and stuff like that. But I kind of liked how they did tastefully just put strands of hair in there that was like pink and strands that were red and all of that. That worked for me. I don't know if it worked for you guys.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cute.
It seemed really tasteful. And then, like, they also did, like, I remember hearing some people say that they weren't really happy with how they were dressing the band. Like, oh, that's not her outfit. That's not what they would look like. And I'm like, you know what? Actually, they gave a really good modern feel to it. And it worked for me. Like, each time they had a different outfit on, like, for the four different music sequences they did, it worked for me. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but throughout the show, Jem's pink got bigger and bigger and bigger until like the final show it was like all the way halfway across her face.
Well, to me that's like she's still trying to mask more and more of who she is.
But that's when she finally came out who she was.
Yeah, I thought the hair and everything looked tasteful until the Misfits. Oh, that horrible green wig. That wig was just... Oh.
You have a better wig than that.
Oh, I do. I know I do.
You do a better color job than that, yeah.
Oh, it was just... Oh, Pizzazz looked horrible.
So, you didn't like the music, Mike, did you? None of it. Not There's any of
too
it.
Too much rap influence in it, and I'm just not... No.
How about you, Nicole? What did you think about the music?
I didn't mind it. It's very poppy. I really liked Youngblood. I think it's very catchy.
That one was catchy, yeah.
I really liked the ballad that she used before she went viral.
At the very beginning, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that
And they
ballad.
Did the a cappella stuff, like even the We Got Heart sequence. I know that Rio sang in that one, but it worked for me. It still worked for me. It's not what you typically see Rio do, but, you know, it worked.
Rhea could have just gone away and I've been fine. Like I said, I didn't think I could find a Rhea that I hated more than the cartoon series.
So what about the solo performance? Did anybody get a Lady Gaga vibe with that?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what they were looking for. Exactly.
Yeah, it was a little too crazy for me.
I liked it, but...
It worked. I think it was a little overkill on the Lady Gaga look, but for what they were trying to do, her going solo and not being
her. How can
her,
you overkill Lady Gaga?
You can't overkill her. It was just a mimic or an imitation of Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
You can't overkill her. She overkills herself.
Yeah, I was going to say, the meat dress essentially did that.
Yeah, I don't think you can go, I don't think you can come back from that. I don't think anybody can overdo that. Don't try, actually.
Someone will try.
The outfit was kind of out there. That's like, I don't think you go any further than that. But yeah, don't try to prove me wrong on that one. So yeah. That was all I wanted to say. Is just we didn't talk about it. So sorry.
Hey,
we talked about it. There you go.
Anything else?
No.
Give it
a chance. Go watch it. It's not.
It's not.
Yeah, it's worth watching at least once just to see it. The final thing I will bring up is that apparently Chu is trying to convince Hasbro to do a Gem Transformers G.I. Joe crossover.
Why?
Movie.
As long as he's not in charge of it,
that's insane. You cannot, one, you cannot share the spotlight with Bay. He will not let you.
Exactly.
And two, I cannot see how Gem and the Holograms would have anything to do with those other two IPs. They, what would they be, like, kidnapped by the Decepticons and everybody has to go save them?
No,
why?
Basically, Gem and the Holograms would be over-sexualized teenagers that Bay uses in his movies.
G.I. Joe people, you know that they will, because he'll look at that and say, oh, this is completely normal, we'll have a romance going on. Oh, wow. Okay, Joe or Chu?
Let's see.
You're insane.
Chu.
You're insane.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. Jerrica and Duke. Shayna and Roadblock. Aja and...
one of them has to have a transformer. Come on, throw a transformer in there.
No, that's too weird.
Hey, yeah. Weird.
Aja and Shia. Aja and Shia.
Oh,
there you go.
Go. Why would you do that to Carly?
Oh, please. Carly's nothing but a stick model.
She's got Jason Statham, so.
Yeah, there you go. Who's going to explode? There's got to be explosions, right?
Yeah.
Rio.
Optimus Prime for the second time. Woohoo!
Make Rio explode, please.
And then have Marky Mark come in to rebuild him.
Wow.
Oh, boy. We've really gotten off track in this episode, folks. This is probably the far off we've gone the tracks in a long time.
Okay, we've only gone over for about an hour anyhow, so.
Yeah.
It would be different if it was like 2 hours long and we've really gone off the rails.
Yeah.
Well, you know that's going to happen either with me and Amy. Come on.
Yeah, it always does.
2 years of doing this, so... Like I said, next time around, Truly Outrageous Grand Finale, we're going to come back. We're going to do a whole bunch of fun stuff.
Oh, I have an idea. Why don't we put it to the listeners? Any listeners out there, if you have a show that you would like us to re-review out of the original show, you want to point it to each one of us. Hey, let's go for it, man. If you've got you've got some suggestions, you've been listening. Yes, let them give us a little bit of pain.
I agree.
Come on. Let us know.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Amy.
Oh, boy.
If we get any. I mean, we might not. You never know, so.
Yeah, well, I do know we're going to have, we do have one feed. We actually have several feedback from a super fan named Desiree on Facebook.
Hi, Desiree. She's commented
on, I think, episodes 16 through 22 or 23. I don't remember.
Awesome. She could give us a good but one.
I'm sure she could.
Yetis. Give Yetis to
No Yetis.
That's my favorite episode. I want to re-review that one.
Oh, stop it. So, yeah. When it comes to the feedback, we got a whole bunch of feedback coming up. We got, I think there's six or maybe five total iTunes reviews. So people, you've got a little bit of time. Go on iTunes, leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. Like I said, coming up, Julie Outrageous grand finale. Either before or after that, we're going to do Dark Gem Part 1. Mm-hmm. And after that, who knows? So.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yetis. I think there's not been one podcast. Well, maybe there has been one or two that have gone by that we haven't mentioned Yetis, but yes, Yetis are here to stay.
Yetis are awesome.
No Yetis.
It starts off with.
No Yetis for
it's,
you!
It's Yetis! Yetis!
Yetis!
Yetis! Yetis! Even starts off with excitement.
Tune in next time and help us get truly outrageous here on Showtime Synergy. I hate you both.
Show's over, Synergy.